So, first of all, thank you a lot for having us here. I know you are a fan of Velvet Underground. I would like to ask you, what do you listen now that is new and that inspires you to do your job?
I listen to my wife and my kids. Okay. I'm not kidding. And that inspires me to do my job. I listen to their questions. I listen to my children's questions. And I listen to how they speak about the world and how they see the world for the first time through their fresh eyes. And it's fucking beautiful.
How old are your kids?
5 and 1.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I musically, I know that's what your question was, but I mean, I haven't been listening to a ton of stuff outside of, actually, Francis Bebe. Have you heard of this guy, Francis Bebe? He's from Africa. He was making electronic music, and he might be from the pygmy culture. And he plays this flute, and the flute only plays one note. It goes, whoo, and then he makes another sound with his voice. So it's like, and he does this really cool, like, percussive thing with the flute, and it's very fucking cool, super bizarre, and just I love digging into, I love listening to music that's not westernized music, you know. I really get a lot of inspiration from more of just cultural, kind of indigenous style of music. It just speaks to me, just because it's not, you know, most of it's not trained classically, and it comes from this different part of the person's soul and their heart. So that's kind of like the music I've been listening to. I've been working with a band called Strange Lot. I'm producing the record right now, and just finished a record by this band called Daystar.
Okay.
And another great record. It's like really cool 90s, like Breeders meets Primal Scream meets something else. And then this Strangelot band that I've been listening to a lot now because I'm producing them, they have this really cool broadcast, like cool hip hop drum beats, but with like really just blossom, beautiful vocals. Between that, making my solo music and making music for the Black Angels, I only have so much bandwidth in my head. But recently that Francis Bebe, Bebey. Okay. Yeah.
Check it.
Yeah. I know you.
And, you were talking about that, and I listen to your records, and each record it's different, but you have a kind of a watermark
a
in that, yeah. Always for you to produce different things, each album, and it's like you do different things, but you don't disappoint the fans, and I think you are evolving in your work.
Thank you. First of all, thank you very much for saying that, you know, and noticing that. And like, we're not going to please everybody. I know that. Like, some people are gonna be, oh, I don't like this song, I don't like that, but that's impossible.
Because it's too tough.
Or not tough enough.
Yeah.
That's like, you can't please anybody. But one person that you can please is yourself. And that's all that matters. If our band is happy with the music, then nothing else matters. This goes back to the therapy of music. It's, if it makes us feel good and we feel comfortable releasing it, then that's great. And then you talk about the evolution of music, and I never wanted to be a band that is typecasted. Oh, they can only do one genre. You know, I grew up listening to hip hop and old country music and electronic music and trip hop, you know, obviously rock and roll, psychedelic rock and roll, folk music. But I, you know, I'm just in the beginning of my career, I feel like, and after having my children.
Four children in your career?
I'm a child. And then after having these children, I feel like I've started over. Like, but with the same knowledge I had, but just started over with my excitement for music. and the knowing that how important it is for not just myself but for other people. I know it sounds silly, but I'm a very selfish musician in that I make music, and I think our band does as well, for us. So if it, I don't want to play the same. I don't want to play the same. Each record should evolve. You listen to the Beatles or you know, things like this.
They changed a lot.
Yeah, they changed. They do. And they still had the DNA, their watermark, their DNA in it. So,
but I'd have a spacey DNA. Real
yeah,
nice.
Well, yeah, no, thank you. No, thank you, man. Yeah, I'd like to think that if we played any kind of genre, it would still feel like us, just because of where the music's coming from. And it comes from this magical place. And I don't know what it looks like. I just know what it feels like.
When you came to Europe, because, I don't know, here we have a lot of rock festivals. And Portugal is a country that has a lot of festivals for the size of the country. What the difference that you notice between the public in Europe and the public in the United States?
I think this is going to make a lot of people in the United States upset. And I'm going to exclude Levitation and Austin Psych Fest because those festivals don't count. But I think a lot of festivals, a lot of big ones like Coachella, and Lollapalooza and these big festivals, it's not about the music.
It's about the money.
It's about the money and what you look like and like the fucking like jewelry, all this shit that people are wearing, like, and what group you're going with and like what, you know, some important things like what kind of stuff did you get, you know, but like, but really the festivals here, I feel like people, and this is a bigger, I'm speaking more to a problem of America, is that the appreciation for music and arts is just different. I think it's we've been taught that it's not that big of a deal. Our government doesn't give us grants enough to really you know, there's not a lot of tons of museums, there's not a lot of culture in America. I know there's weird, I know that sounds weird saying that, but it's just like I feel like everywhere we go in Europe and the rest of the world, people, they have this other appreciation for music, that it's more religious and spiritual inside and then something on the outside.
Have you ever played in Africa?
No, we got asked to play in Africa, but we didn't. I want to play, but we haven't played. We missed an opportunity to play down there, and I really wish I could go back in time and play. If I could go back in time, I'd take Rodriguez and we'd open up for Rodriguez and play in Africa. That would be like an amazing moment. I actually have been listening to a lot of Rodriguez because he passed away recently.
I just read it a few days.
My brother-in-law released Cold Fact. He reissued it. And so whenever Rodriguez would come to town, my brother called me, and because he lived in California or Seattle, and I would kind of like help him, or, you know, on and off stage, and help him with the guitars because he couldn't see very well at all. And it was just interesting to go back to those moments and see how impactful his music was as a folk singer on my life. It's so believable. That's all I was gonna say. It's so fucking believable. And I was surprised that he was never like huge success.
It will be now because it's
Oh, I know. That's it's sad but true. But yeah, I think the answer, go back to your question, the people in Europe just have a better appreciation for art and music, and it's obvious. It's like night and day difference to me.
Just to end our interview, I would like to ask you, what do you like to read?
I really enjoy reading children's books. I know that sounds crazy.
BD or children?
Children's books, okay, for children, because they're not only do I have to, but they're so innocent, and they get to the heart of these really important stories that are passed down from generation to generation. And it's kind of like the thing about the evolution of what psychedelic music was. It started in a cave, and a man in a cave, like with a big shadow, and you know, somebody beating on a drum, and the elder was saying, don't go out into the woods because a saber-toothed tiger will kill you. Don't go to this part because there's lava. Don't go over, don't eat this berry because it's poisonous, it's red. Eat these other purple ones. They're you know. So I feel like children's books are just a great archetype music story, archetypal music story passed down. So I've been really enjoying children's books, and I think one of my favorite ones is The Giving Tree. I don't know if you it's a really good one, The Giving Tree. But yeah, I've been reading a lot of children's books, and it's brought in this certain kind of beautiful innocence back into my life that I kind of, I guess, forgot. And it's great. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Nice. Thank you very much for this interview, guys. Yeah. Thank you. It's a pleasure to meet. Yeah. It's really, really a pleasure.